Hello, everyone, and welcome to the best and worst of Walt Disney World. I am your host, Ryan O'Clavin, and this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the best bars in the Disney theme parks. And to join me for this discussion, we have Mr. Sean Folk.
Hi.
Charles Boda.
Hey, folks.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And in the shadows, Craig Williams.
No way, hoy.
Yes. So before we get started, I have a couple things to bring up really quick. I don't know when this episode is airing compared to the other episodes because we record these all in a row, which is convenient and wonderful for us and for you as well. But we did an episode about the best and worst bathrooms at Walt Disney World, and every other comment in the comment section on YouTube is about having a woman on the show. And I'm going to say it right now. I would love to work with more women. It is a real sausage factory in this studio right at this very moment. However, everybody that's sitting in the studio right now, well, actually, with the exception of Sean here, and this is our job. This part is like specifically like in the writing of this is what we were hired to do. Now, the other ladies that work for us, Julie, she is a full-time mother and has an actual job to perform beyond being a parent as well. And so her and Corey switch out for the Tuesday shows. Teresa, that has a full-time job, which is the Welcome Center show. When she's on the Tuesday show, that's her day off. And then Kathy is a Dreams Unlimited travel agent, so hence why they always rotate out. We unfortunately don't have other ladies in our lives yet, other than Kylie, who takes, again, her day off, is here and does videos with Craig and myself in the park sometimes. So if we had more women, we would have them on the show. I promise you that. We're not hiding them somewhere and not allowing them to be a part of this. So I apologize to anybody that offends. And the second comment is, I understand that some people want Pete to be the host of everything in their life, but he is the one who did not want to do this show anymore. I did not Caesar him. I did not like poison him or like beg him to do this. He chose to step down from this show. And if you want your fix of Pete, he hosts the Tuesday show. He does the Daily Fix on Mondays and he hosts the dining show. And in the future, not sure when this is going on or not, there's going to be another show that he'll be a part of. So if four different things are not enough Pete for you, then you might have a problem. So with that said, I am your host for the foreseeable future, so I apologize. If you don't like me, you should probably move on to another show. But for those of you who do, thank you very much, and I appreciate all your feedback. So with that said, why don't we jump into a bar? Because I could sure use a drink. These are our best bars in the theme park specifically, because as we were going through the best bars of Walt Disney World, we realized we really kind of should break this up. So we're going to do theme parks, resorts, Disney Springs, and pool bars. And today, best theme park bars. And they're not necessarily in any particular order, but for everybody that has that list in front of them, I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way to the top, like one does. A real success story there. And this is one of my favorite little gems here. And it might not be considered a full-fledged bar, I guess, but we settled on it as a place that we would probably go out of our way to go with somebody if it's like their first visit or we find ourselves repeating it. And that would be the Mitsukoshi Sake Bar. Does anybody have anything special to say about it?
I do. It's located in the Japan Pavilion in Epcot. Because I didn't quite know when we just said the name earlier. So I was like, oh, wait, where? But that's where it's located. And so there is an outside sake bar, which I don't like at all. But if you go inside the Japanese Mitsukoshi store, it's kind of tucked away in the back a bit. No, it's by the cash registers, actually. So when you're paying on the very far left end.
If you walk all the way in the building, it's on the back left side.
Yes. And they have, like, I'm not a big sake person, and I've done Drink Around the World a lot of times, and Japan used to be a place I really struggled, like, what am I going to get? And now I feel really good because I can go in, and they have, like, a peach sake, they have a citrus sake, which is like a lemon one, and they are really, really, really good, and it's great for people who are participating in that with their friends and aren't sake people, like I'm not, so...
I will say, if we're going to be a little bit critical of this place, it is located, like we said, in the middle of a gift shop. So it is a little crowded in there. There's lots of noise. There's lots of people going by. So it's not like a bar to go and enjoy a drink where the bar is located.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the only downside. That being said,
In one of the best gift shops.
That's
though.
True.
We'll say that. I'll give you that argument.
But so, to give it some positive points, I feel like it's one of those true, when you go to the World Showcase, you're trying to experience what that country has to offer. And I feel like sake in Japan is, you can't really do better than that. So I feel like that is why I enjoy it, because it further immerses me in that culture and in that environment.
I feel like sake is one of those drinks that people would immediately push to the side and be like, no, I don't like sake. It's like, well, you really haven't tried it. Kind of how Sean was alluding. There's a big variety of sakes to choose from. It's not, they don't all just taste the same. There's sweeter one, sweeter sakes out there for you. There are ones that like are really strong, like the cloudy unfiltered ones.
I do like that cloudy one.
I enjoy that. It's a taste that hits you right up front, but I'm also the type of person, I would rather sip a good scotch or a whiskey. So I like tasting a nice, good alcohol. So anyone who says immediately right away, like, I don't like sake, chances are they probably just haven't had it, or they've had really cheap, crappy sake at some point at a hibachi and just gave it a bad rap. But it's really something worth trying.
Well, it's very similar to, you know, if you're a beer drinker and then you have a friend who says, I don't like beer. It's like, okay, well, how many have you tried? You know, like sake. Yeah. Sake is a diverse category of something. So, yeah, a lot of people aren't less inclined to try that. But, you know, having like a fun setting and everything and having a bunch of different options for different people you're with can kind of help people broaden their horizons, which is, you know, like Steve was kind of alluding to, is part of the whole World Showcase charm. You know, is stretching out yourself.
I want to say it ranges from like $5 to $8 for, depending on the type of sake you choose as well. So it's kind of one of those like low risk on the side of like, if you're paying for a drink, maybe you're not as familiar with. So I'd say sake it to me, baby.
Oh,
that's why I started laughing
at some point.
I will say, like going what you were saying with the prices, it's one of the only places that I feel like you're not paying a Disney premium necessarily. Like anywhere you went, you know, your local Japanese restaurant, if you were going to get a sake, it's going to be about that price. Yeah. So I don't think they're gouging or anything on those. And that's really one of the testaments to it.
And honestly,
well,
I really like talking to the ladies that are in there.
They're really usually nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they make it ladies. A spectacle with it, kind of like they do in everything in the Japan Pavilion. It's more than just going and getting a drink.
Yeah.
They want to get you into the excitement of it.
Yeah. Well, we've got another one on the list from Epcot, and I'm going to let Craig talk about this one because this is one of his favorite in Italy.
Yeah, actually, this is, I don't want to give away the secret, but a lot of times when I'm at Epcot World Showcase and doing an event, whatever it is at Epcot, and I need a place to escape for a while, I will go to the Tutto Gusto wine cellar. And that is because typically, unless you are going to eat at Tutto Gusto, you might not even know that this little lounge bar area is there. And sometimes it is very difficult to get a seat in there. So I won't act like it's simple, but it is dark. You are hidden away, and not only do they have a bunch of delicious wine there, as well as, I won't say delicious beers, because it's a lot of Italian beers, and Italian beers aren't great. It was great when I was in Italy drinking a lot of it, but like I haven't come back now and been like, you know what, I need another Moretti. It's like I'm not finding myself doing that, but
from McDonald's, maybe.
Yeah, if it was at McDonald's, that's different.
That's right.
That's the only time I get my taste for beer now, and it's when I'm back at McDonald's. But not only that, but they do have a full bar in there, too, so you really have your choice of what you want. And then, like any good lounge, they do have a selection of small plates, a lot of, like, antipasto and, you know, nothing too extreme. If you want just a chunk of mozzarella, they'll give you a chunk of mozzarella, and I enjoy that. So I don't know firsthand. They have mozzarella there. It's at a bar right next to it. But
I always want a chunk of mozzarella.
Oh, why wouldn't you? Yeah. It's God's gift to the world is mozzarella. So I think it's a great little place to hide away. They do wine flights, which I always appreciate that. So that way, if you want to try new things, it's definitely a good way to do it. But it's one of those little hidden hiding places. If you just want a quick drink inside in the air conditioning, maybe stop and think about that.
Yeah, I really like their, I like that place as well. That I know the first time I went in there, it was because we were doing a drink around the world and we were like, let's try and get something authentically Italian, but I don't like wine. And so I'd always thought, well, wine, and then like the beers, they're not really known for their beer. So we asked some of the people that were there, were like, oh, if you were back in Italy, what would you kind of take a shot of, or what would you get as a drink outside of beer and wine? They suggested limoncello. And so we were able to go in there and get it. I had never had that at that time before. And it was expensive. I know it was 14 for a shot, but
of limoncello.
Yes. So
$140, and you start to feel something.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that was what that was because I'd never been there. But they did have so many options, and it really is packed with people. But it almost was like people were a little more formal in there. Like there were no like screaming kids. I've been many times at this point. There's
feels
no
like
kids.
A little elevated.
Yeah, yeah, like it's almost like people go in and they know like, I shouldn't be here. Let everything go like, bye. Let everything or I should be here, or whatever. But it is very open to, it, you know, anything as far as like getting away in the park. If you're somebody who's just casually going around the countries, you're not in Epcot to, you know, I got to hit every ride kind
of
thing.
If you're on a date.
It's one of those nice like evening kind of places to go around.
Okay. Well, the next one's going to take us out of Epcot. We're moving on over to Hollywood Studios. And I don't know that I would have put this on the best list, but we have some people in this room who want it on there, and that would be the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge.
I enjoy this bar a lot. I think it's a great place to grab a drink, kind of watch people watch as you look out into the rest of the park. It's located basically right smack dab in the middle of it.
It's like the seating area uses what was the Cafe of the Stars. Was that what it was called or something? It was like the – it was a little – Starbucks-esque
No. You're thinking of Starring Rolls, and that's a different thing. You can sit where Starring Rolls seating was, but there's like alongside the Brown Derby, there is specific high top.
Oh, I
like,
thought it was all included as part of that. I thought that was still part of that area, is it not?
Well, they do have at the Brown Derby Lounge, you can either sit down and have the full lounge experience and be given a menu and be served on, or you, that made no sense.
We will serve the food upon you.
Upon your head.
Or you can walk right up to the bar and you can easily grab a drink. And like you mentioned, right outside of Starring Rolls, there are plenty of tables where you could easily sit down there and have your drink. But I wouldn't, my opinion is go for the full experience as long as there's a table open. And actually get the full service included in it, because that's the best
way
to go.
Okay, so that was the reason why I was going to put it on the negative list, was because I felt like the utilization of space could be much better. And so every time I think about it, I think about being like stuck in a really hot sun. Like it's really hot out because the lounge is outside. Yeah, all of it.
Yes, but okay, so there's a lot of umbrellas over a lot of the tables. There are some seats that are technically under the sun. They don't have covering on them, but I would say the vast majority is covered with tables with umbrellas.
And on the side that me and Craig are thinking of, there's also kind of trees from the
I know the part you're talking about. I would be nice to see that, since this lounge seems to be very popular, to see them maybe expand and really take over that Starring Role space and put a proper canopy over it, so it's not kind of in between, you know, I mean, like, but that's on them. But let me ask you this. Why do you love it so much? What's your favorite, like, drink or snack to get there?
I never order a particular drink here. And I usually, that's part of my criteria, is usually why I like something. If they have, like, I usually just get, like, a rum and Coke or something like that. I just like the atmosphere. I like the appetizers. I can't, off the top of my head, think of any particular appetizers that are, like, my must-do.
They have the, this, if I'm not wrong, this is where the featured Hollywood Studios drink actually is too, is it not?
There, nothing here is adequately priced. It is all very expensive going along with Hollywood Brown Derby, but that's why it's not an everyday lounge. You don't go to this one as your go-to when you kind of like what we ended on with Tutto Gusto. When you want to have a nice sit down, maybe on a date, something else, I would look at this place to go to.
They do have the Schafferhofer grapefruit beer that everybody loves from Germany, that I'm not saying correctly, but I don't care.
I'll also add, there's a bartender that's always there. I think his name's Dave. Could be totally butchering his name, but he's super, super nice.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Dave?
Well, we'll move on from the Brown Derby Lounge, and that's going to take us over to... I'm going to save the other one we have from this park for last. But one of my favorites is the Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, and Charles will agree with this.
Yeah. If you've seen any of the dining shows, or I think other best and worst as well, I'm just a huge fan of this. It's one of my favorite places on property. And the thing is, I don't actually know. You guys are going to have to tell me, like, as far as, like, cocktails and what drink options they serve. Like, I no longer drink, so I'm judging most of these places by, like ambiance and theming and stuff like that.
But you
that.
Bring a good perspective for that reason.
Yeah, and the thing is, there are places where, you know, if you're with friends who do drink and you don't want to partake yourself, like, they're still fun places to hang out. And a lot of these on this list are places where I'm more than happy to, like, kill some time and hang out, get an appetizer or two. And Nomad Lounge is always on the top of my list, whether it's that little inside portion or the outside portion. It's got like a subtle certain amount of theming. It kind of takes you almost like, you know, what was being said about Tudo Gusto. You know, taking you away from that park experience to enjoy yourself. That's the whole aspect of lounging, is getting away from that hustle and bustle and everything. And, you know, sitting out on the deck and having that just experience, looking out into like, not the actual park, just like looking out into the jungle kind of thing, or sitting inside in the air conditioning with, you know, it's not dimly lit, but it is kind of, you know, it's a couple shades lower and everything, mm-hmm. and they've got the AC pumping. So even if you're inside, it kind of takes you away from that hot, pacing around Animal Kingdom atmosphere.
Well, it also has a good variety for you, for like, or anybody that's looking for it, a good variety of non-alcoholic drinks, too.
Yeah.
That aren't just like Coke, lemonade. Yes. It's got, you know, different types of teas, coffee, all yeah. that sort of stuff. They call them mocktails.
There's like a biscuit drink, too.
There is a thing, though, for people who don't drink, the mocktail drives me insane. Just non-alcoholic cocktails is fine. Mocktail sounds very childlike, like
Charles is getting his Shirley Temple again.
Charles is getting his cocktail. If anybody listening, I'm finger quoting that, but yeah. So, but the, you know, a lot of places on Disney property, I wish more places do actually have those non-alcoholic cocktails mm-hmm. that are kind of fun. And, you know, I used to scoff at them and everything, but I really do enjoy them. But the coffee there is great, and their appetizers, you know, like, you know, you want to sit out there and get like a plate of cheese or some like some unique wings, just different stuff like that. They have great little small plate options for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love this place because for me, I you know, we always talk about theming and everything like that. It is very... It offers a lot of drinks that use like African alcohol mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And they have very unique cocktails in there. If you're going there, I'm definitely going to recommend the Tempting Tigress. That is my favorite drink on that menu by far. The only problem
great is name too.
Since it's opened, it's kind of priced me out of being like, oh, every time I go to Animal Kingdom, I'll stop over here, because now that Tempting Tigress is $13 mm-hmm. and then like you and tip, you're like, well, I just had don't get me wrong, it's a well-prepared drink. This is a place where I feel like there is care given to the drinks they're making for the most part, but it just, you know, you have the same issue a little bit here.
I completely can play devil's advocate on this, that I said I would have put this on the worst list, like neutral to worst, besides the fact that this place has a bar that actually has plugs right under the bar. That's about the biggest selling point for it. That, and that they have Tampa Bay Brewing Company's Old Elephant Foot IPA right there too. So I can sit at the bar, I can plug my computer or phone in and have a good beer right on hand. But other than that, it seems like every time we go back, we're trying to challenge them. Like, the service isn't going to be as bad as it was last time. Yeah, and I'm not going to feel as ripped off as I did last time. And then I'm just constantly in shock about how bad. And I don't think it's bad servers. I think it's just they completely understaff that lounge. Yeah. So and
they come off very unattentive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's not their fault. It's not their fault that there's only three servers watching a whole outdoor section and indoor section, because then the bartenders don't leave the actual bar area because they're making the drinks and pouring them. It's just, it's one of those places that it still shocks me that Disney hasn't caught on to what it needs to elevate it to the next level. So I do enjoy that it's very accessible to walk up and get a drink to go there. But for the most part, I do not enjoy Nomad anymore.
I would just also add, I don't understand Disney's reasoning on understaffing, because you think they would be able to get more people through there.
Yeah.
If they, you know, appropriately staffed, people could get their drinks quicker and then get out quicker.
It used to be a lot quieter before Pandora opened, obviously. And then this kind of got, I feel like now it's always busy. You know what I mean? Before you could go and it'd be light. So I don't know if they haven't really realized that in the year since it's been opened yet. But yeah, you know, it would be nice. But you were quiet about this one, Sean. You didn't have anything to say with this one?
Not really. Oh. I didn't have an input on this one. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't really think I've been there to drink at it too much. I've just stopped in and seen it. And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to what I think is probably my favorite one out there right now. And it's one of the new, or it is the newest one in this list. And that is back at Hollywood Studios. We have the Baseline Tap House. I am a big fan of this one. I like the theming being like kind of like California. This whole like ode inside is kind of like this ode to the original graphic designers of like Disneyland, or like supposedly, you know. But we've gone several times since they've opened, and the beer that they have on tap in there has been rotating. And I like the, it's a very diverse selection of beers. And on top of that, like, there's usually more than just one fruity beer for me to choose from, because I was like fruit flavoring in my beer. And but not just that, they offer like unique other types of beverages as well too, and a couple of apps, you know, that you can share. And again, the last time we were in there, they had changed that again too. But anybody else have feelings on this?
How many taps do they have total, do you know?
I think it was like 8-10 maybe.
Well, it's, I want to say it is 10 to 12 taps,
because we had like they'll do the flights, yeah, and it was like five in a flight, maybe.
It might even be more. It might be 14.
Yeah, because there's a lot. We had two full flights, and because you have to select, and then on top of that, we were given another beer, but then we had chosen like two or three not to select because they were from like this area, and we were trying to just stick to the West Coast stuff.
The nice part is they are listening to guests, because that's when the last time we were in there, they told us that, oh, well, you know, this one hasn't been, we're going to switch it out to something that we think is actually going to be a little bit more popular. Mm-hmm. So I like that they're actually taking the feedback. I enjoy this place too with the beer, not only because it's good beer, but they also do a 22 ounce pour, which they also have a 16 ounce pour, but I like the two different options. I like being able to get more, especially when it comes to beer. I like that it's the quick service style. So you walk up to the counter, you get your drinks right away, but then you have a great seating area that one day is going to be just beautiful, watching people stroll into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge while you're sitting back there just watching it all happen. The only negative thing, I hate the music loop here. It takes pop songs from today in the last 10 years and just makes it like contemporary elevator music, and I freaking hate that so much. I love a good jazz song, but this is just too much.
Not that.
No.
I like it that it has indoor and outdoor seating. I do like the beer selection. I like that it rotates. I feel like everyone kind of addressed my feelings on this.
I do think it's very pretty. They've got like the Edison lights strung up outside. So like I haven't been yet at night, but it looks like somewhere that I'm like, oh, this would be really fun at night. And I don't know, there's just something, it's that type of theming where you go in and you don't even realize, I think, it's having the impact on you that it is, because it really does give me that, okay, I need to take a break. Let me go grab it, you know, refreshing beverage, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, or just like a snack, and it really gives you that kind of breather from that atmosphere, but it puts you in that right everything seems to work in the right direction at this place.
Say that it's currently the best attraction at Hollywood Studios?
There's not a lot to rank that one, so yes.
But genuinely, it's one of the only places that we absolutely hit every time we go to Hollywood Studios.
And Craig is right about that pour. Not to make it sound like an alcoholic or anything like that, but there are times where you're like, that, you know, just you just want that little bit more, but not a whole nother drink. And so it's really only like $1.50 more for that other pour. So you're like, why not? Especially when it's like, oof, one of those hot Florida summer days, you know?
I will say I did have like one little bit annoying experience here where it was later in the day and there was it's connected to sci-fi a little bit. And there was a family that clearly was late for the reservation, and the hostess kept coming in and she's like, Preston family, and she kept like yelling it. Like, I wanted to, after like the third or fourth time, I wanted to be like, ma'am, they're not here. Like,
give up.
So that was, I don't know.
I've seen that before too.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Those are our picks for the best bars in the theme parks at Walt Disney World. We had Mitsukoshi Sake Bar in the Japan Pavilion at Epcot. We had Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar and the Italy Pavilion, the Brown Derby Lounge at Hollywood Studios, Nomad Lounge at Animal Kingdom, and Baseline Tap House at Hollywood Studios. So if you do have some favorites that we did not go over in this, maybe they're in the worst episode. I don't know. But let us know in the comments below what your favorite bar are if you're watching this video. You know, as always, feel free to click like, subscribe, feedback. All those things are welcome. Thank you guys for having this discussion. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. And we will see you again in the next episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World.